put in order. All right, let's talk about that. There's one Greek word that is used in both the Septuagint for the Old Testament as well as in the New Testament, and it is kosmeia. And it's a very important word to understanding God's word of putting something in order. The prime of it, you're all familiar with. It's cosmos. Cosmos in the Greek tongue means to place in orderly order, or it means the world. It means this world. This world, not necessarily age, but this world in all ages. Now, to show you how you're going to have to open your minds and think, because you can take this on about any level you want to, but to find this world in its perfect order, you would have to have gone back to the first earth age before the katabole, or to say the overthrow of Satan. So ultimately, God is wise in using this word, because ultimately that's what we all long to go back to. Because that that has been shall be again, as it is written, there's nothing new under the sun, meaning the eternal heaven will be back to the perfect order of things. This word is used, kosmeia, for garnishing, prettying up, to adorn in the feminine sense. And this is important for you that wish to take this deeper than I intend to today, and it's very simple to do, is that it usually is referred to in the feminine of a woman making herself adorned or put in order for the husband. And the husband, as Paul would say in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, I wish to present you all as chaste virgins to one husband, that is to say Christ. Okay, so all of God's children make up the bride that should put herself in order, adorn herself in a natural way whereby she is appealing to the Savior Christ, but taking it to the deeper level, rather than for her earthly husband, is making herself, meaning all without gender, put in order to be accepted into the world that is in the right order. That is to say heaven, okay? So please don't let that confuse you if that didn't flow real good for you. It's just how deep you can take this if you choose to, okay? And this kind of explains sometimes where it says a woman should adorn herself in an acceptable way, all right? Because usually they come along then, the men's, and that means to subject yourself to might, all right? And when you hear a man say that, you know he's got problems, okay? He really does. Because if you're really a good old boy, you know, you don't have to worry about women being subjected to you or drawn to you. They just are. Okay. Am I jesting? Well, that's up for you to decide. Okay. But this is important, and I probably shouldn't have teased about it a little bit, but I can't help it. Okay. I'll just leave it that way. Put in order in this sense that there are wise people, and there are people that are not so wise. You know, they're just not the brightest nickel on the block, okay? Now, for a wise person to listen to a fool is for the wise person, regardless of gender, to be a bigger fool than the fool. Okay, I'm just planting a few seeds here of deep thought, all right? Of what one must do, and a wise person always knows how to soften that, whereby it works. All right, it really works. And in case you men don't understand what I'm saying, hey, sometimes women are smarter than we are. Okay, it can happen that way occasionally. Oh boy, I better get to work. I'm just having too much fun here. But anyway, take this on whatever depth you want to, you can. I'm going to take it, I'm going to kick it on down there pretty good. But there's still a far more in-depth lesson in this that I'm going to take you this time. All right, I'm just passing that off as for what it's worth. All right. Turn, open your Bibles with me to put in order. I want you to turn to Matthew chapter 23. And as you're turning there, I'm going to say again, cosmeo is to put in proper order or to regulate. It is even a military term which is utilized in classical Greek, but not so much in the Bible itself. And it is taken from the word cosmos, which is world, which means orderly arrangement, which only God can do, the supreme, and it means this world. Okay? So we're going to the opposite of the Beatitudes to begin this. I want you to open your Bibles to that 23rd chapter. Let's pick it up in the 29th verse. And let's check out this word, all right? Verse 29, Matthew 23, and it reads, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because ye build the tombs of the prophets and garnish the sepulchres of the righteous." Do you understand what that means? Garnish is our word, cosmeo. You make it look all right. You make it seem like you've placed it all in order and that was the right thing to do. Just do away with those prophets and believe me, which is to say the traditions of men. Were we to have started in the beginning of this 23rd chapter, it would have said the scribes and Pharisees sit in the seat of Moses. Who was Moses? The lawgiver. Okay. They're just making it look all right. Dress it all up. All right. Placing it in order, but you can see through that, and you should, to know why. Anyone that murders God's prophets has got to be of Satan. That's just common sense, okay? Anyone that, I guarantee you, if you set yourself as you should, and you're going to do a good work for God, I guarantee you the world, as it presently stands, is going to come against you, all right? And therefore, you've got to be stronger and believe God's word that he has given us power over all of our enemies and stomp them. I mean, don't give them a chance. Anytime that snake wiggles, get him. All right? Why? We have power over them. We don't put up with nonsense. You will always have growth if you practice that. I don't care how rough the times in the world are or anything else. Why? It's called God's blessings. And God blesses those that follow his word and believe it. So they polish up those old graves and say, it's all right. They were going against us. Verse 30, let's identify them. And say, this is what they say when they do this. If we had been in the days of our fathers, we would not have been partakers with them in the blood of the prophets. Now see how wonderful we are. Look at that sepulcher, how nice we've made it. Doesn't matter how they murdered the old boy to get him in there, or the girl. 31, wherefore ye be witnesses unto yourself. This is Jesus speaking. That ye are the children of them which killed the prophets. 32, fill ye up then the measure of your fathers. You go ahead and take the full line. We're going to give you enough rope to hang yourselves. Ye serpents, ye generation of vipers. This word generation in the Greek is offspring of snakes. How can you escape the damnation of hell? Well, who in the world could that be talking about that's offspring of the serpent, even though Genesis chapter 3, verse 15 says, I'm going to put enmity between you and the woman and between your seed and her seed. That's to say the serpent's seed. That's Bible, not me, okay? That's what God said in the Word of God. Well, could these possibly be from those twins that were first born way back with Genesis 3:15? Well, I don't know. Wherefore, Behold, I send unto you prophets and wise men and scribes, and some of them you shall kill and crucify, and some of them shall ye scourge, and you scourge in your synagogues, and persecute them from city to city. You're going to give them a hard time. Don't worry. We don't have to put up with that stuff anymore, and we don't, all right? It is tried, but just, you know, an old farm boy has a particular move he goes through when he's been out to the barnyard, you know? You get rid of stuff like that, okay? You don't have to put up with it. I mean, some of you may think that's rather direct, but hey, I'm a teacher, I'm a communicator, that gets it said. Verse 35. That upon you may come all the righteous blood upon the earth, from the blood of righteous Abel unto the blood of Zacharias, son of Barachias, who ye slew between the temple and the altar. Well now, did that not kind of identify who the offspring of the serpent is? Let's see, how many guesses can we have at who killed Abel? Well, let me see. He only had one brother, and naturally he was a Cain and the father of the Cainites, the offspring of the serpent, that God was speaking of and concerning. God makes it so easy for those that will listen. They decorate everything up. They say, this is all placed in order. You can believe it. I don't. I don't believe falsehoods, and you shouldn't either. God warned us about them too far in advance. And if you want to let Satan suck you in, you go right ahead. It's your ship. You sail it. But he makes it simple enough that children can understand truth when they read it. Verily I say unto you, all these things shall come upon this generation, or this offspring. That's to say, the offspring of he that slew Abel, which is to say Cain, which you can read more of, a second witness to this in St. John chapter 8, verse 44. We don't happen to be going there because we're on a different subject. We're going to talk about to put it back in order. Turn with me to verse chapter 25 in this great book of Matthew. And again, we're going to cover the word cosmeo, which is from the prime cosmos, this world, to put it back the way it ought to be. Chapter 25, verse 1. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. Now, what did that say? It said, this is what the kingdom of heaven is like. Is that where you want to go? Well, of course it is, so you better pay attention then. This is what it's like. If you want to get there, listen to what I'm about to say is what he's saying. They took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. Who is the bridegroom? That's Christ, of course. Do you want to meet him? Do you want to go with him? Do you want to be accepted of him? Then listen. Verse 2. And five of them were wise and five were foolish. Now that's a pretty good average. Okay. Verse 3. I guess, you know, you must remember, these would all be Christian. Don't try to read anything else into it. Because they made it right up to the time of Christ's return, calling themselves followers of Christ. You got it? Okay. Verse 2. 3. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. Now, if you got a coal oil lamp, and that wasn't what this was. This is an olive oil lamp. And it's supposed to make light. And you don't have any fuel in it. I think foolish is an underestimate of their abilities, you know. It's obvious they're not the brightest nickel on the block. They're busy doing other things rather than following God's word, okay? Verse 4. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. They're prepared. They've got it in order. Verse 5. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. I mean, you know, 2,000 years, that's a pretty long time. Plus, even, maybe. 6. And at midnight, you ever got jarred awake at midnight? I mean, it's hard to get the motor going sometimes, all right? And at midnight, there was a cry made. Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. You grab that lamp, light her up, and let's get some action going, okay? 7. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. Underline the word trimmed in your mind. I'll give you one guess at what it is in the Greek. It's kosmeo, is to put everything in order. Sorry, girls, it was too late. Now, don't ever think there's gender, that this only applies to the female. It applies to everybody that expects to be in that wedding to Almighty God through the Son. And the bride had better have herself in gear. And she had better have had her little old lamp already trimmed. You know, there is a third meaning to kosmeo. It means to snuff out a light. Now that kind of gets kind of a bank shot way over on the left corner, all right? But you, like I said, I could take this a lot deeper than I intend to, but it's too much of a step for a stepper the first time, all right? So I'm going to let you, you're good and you're ready. You can take it deeper on your own. Like I said, it can mean to snuff out. But first, let's all get in gear here. Many of you, I forget, you've never had to study or do your homework by an old coal oil lamp or a lamp that has a wick that needs trimming, all right? Maybe I should go into it just a little bit, all right? Because now you're used to hitting the switch and bang! Man, how lucky and spoiled can we get, you know? Well, these old wicks, naturally, they're made out of cotton usually or some lichened absorbent material, and they draw the fuel up from the container, the reservoir, and you know, like naturally when you light a fire to a burnable material, even though it has fuel in it, over a period of time it blackens, and part of it burns, and it gets hard, you know, it hardens to where the oil just can't come right on up there. And maybe you've only got a light in 50% of that wick that's really good. So what you do is you roll that old wick up there and boom, you trim that rascal and make her square all the way across and cut away all that burn stuff. Roll her back down there and then bring her up, and the next time you light it, I mean, it's beautiful. It's ready. It's adorned. Okay? It's trimmed. It's putting out light. It's in the order that it should be. It's ready. Because we are the light, and He is the light of the world. If you're going to take part in a wedding, you want to have everything in order. Not at the last minute. I just put it off another day. Wouldn't it have been sad if Christ had, the day it was time for Him to die on the cross, if He had said, well, to those people, I'd like to pay the price for them, but let's just let them all suffer. And He didn't say that. And He didn't back off. He didn't whimper. He didn't complain. He paid the price for you when you repent, and only when you repent. We got some clique going around in the country now. I can tell by the notes and letters I get that Christ died for the sins of yesterday, today, and forever. No, He didn't. He only died for sins you repent for. Otherwise, friend, you're tagged with them. They're in the book. And you're going to face and answer what's in the book. You know, I think we get some people that want to make being a Christian so easy. You know, they give them a little security blanket of, you're going to fly away. You don't have to worry about anything bad happening. We take care of the baby. I don't know what they think about the gospel armor to stand against the fiery darts of Satan. But I got me a diaper. I'd just be a baby. That won't cut it, all right? So I don't know where all those ideas come from. You got to have that wick trimmed. It's got to be bright. You got to be ready, okay? You know something? The reason our military, and I'll take in as much as this is also a military term, I can work this in. That's the reason our military wins. They're ready, all right? They were born ready. All you got to do, like one person asked this, are you, they say you all are short of food and bullets. He said, no, I'm short on enemy. Anyway, be that as it may, he was ready, all right? And that's the way we should be. So it is amazing in how trimming their wicks in the Greek, it means so very much more of what the bride of Christ is supposed to be preparing herself for. Okay, verse 8 to continue. And the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. Well, I'm going to tell you what, they're not only were their lamps going out, they hadn't burned anything in it to have need to trim their wick. They just weren't prepared at all, meaning they didn't understand or know what was going on. But the wise answered, saying, not so, ain't no way, lest there be not enough for us and you. Our lamp is there, we're not sharing. But go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. In other words, there comes a time at the last trump that it's time for you to march forward, and every ship's got to sail on its own. As I preach. I've preached, you've got to sail your own ship. Don't start looking for people to blame your troubles on. All right? You're the one that made the decisions you've made. If you got into a bind where, I mean, the whole world came down on you and you were messed with, it's your fault. You should have known better. You listened to the wrong people. You didn't keep your wick trimmed. So therefore, always be responsible for your own faults and shortcomings. And because reason why? You're the only one that's going to answer for yourself on Judgment Day. And that's what all this is coming on down to, of getting that little lamp of yours past the inspector. All right? They wouldn't share. Verse 10. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready, underline it, ready, they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. That's it. It's over. It's done. Be ready. Keep that wick trimmed. Put your life in order. 11. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, oh, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and he said, verily I say unto you, I know ye not. Didn't even know them. That meant they hadn't been making any contact with him. I mean, he's very intelligent. He is the brightest nickel on the block. He knows everything, but he didn't know them because they weren't ready. They weren't trimmed. They were not cosmeo. They weren't in order. 13, watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto him their goods. Then it goes into another thought. We'll stop there in that chapter. Trim the wick. That means, basically, put everything in order. How do you put yourself in order? So that you're not deceived. This was one of the things that Christ taught foremost, see that Satan doesn't deceive you. I want you for myself. I want you a virgin when I return, spiritually speaking. I want you. Now, he knows that the false Messiah is coming first, and a lot of people are going to mess around with him. He doesn't want them after that. Not right then. It takes a little correction. Don't be foolish in this generation. It's not the generation you can afford to be. You got to be sharp. You got to be alert. You got to be ready, because you've got to have everything placed in order. Okay, let's go to another place and take this in just a little different light. Go with me to Luke chapter 21. Luke chapter 21. This is that famous time that Jesus, as well as in Matthew 24 and Mark chapter 13, gave us the seven trumps before they ever happened. And as he's setting the stage for this, we need to be aware of what he was saying concerning Cosmeo. Luke 21, verse 5, listen carefully. And as some spake of the temple, how it was adorned with goodly stones and gifts, he said. Now, let me give you one guess again at what this word adorned is in the Greek. You got it. It's cosmeo, placed in order. What he's about to tell them, there is nothing orderly about the buildings or the walls. I'm going to tear every one of them down. Why? Well, you've got the scribes and the Pharisees sitting in the seat of Moses. You got people play-acting concerning the real truth of God's word. He said, concerning the building, there will not be one stone left standing atop another. And when his feet touch the Mount of Olives, as it is written in Zechariah chapter 14, he will cut away from the Mount of Olives and clean the top of Mount Zion of Antichrist and all his followers. I mean, there won't be one rock. Do you know how big a stone is? Okay, it can be as big as my thumb. Smaller than that. He's going to turn it to sand to build the eternal kingdom. One that is adorned properly. One that is placed back in proper order. That's the plan of God's day, is to rejuvenate and to bring things back as they should be for a decent life here on earth. Now, these guys are saying, look at them. Ooh, they look like downtown. Look like nice buildings. What did Jesus say? Verse 6. As for these things which you behold, the days will come in the which there shall not be left one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. Not gently, I mean thrown down. Why? Well, it'll be the nest for Satan before it's over with. And naturally, he is the one that will pull many of the bride, or much of the one-bodied bride, away from the true husband. Do you think that would please you? No, it wouldn't. You'd feel just like he does, tear it down. And that's exactly what he will do. If you were standing there, would you be hurt? No, he's not angry at you. He's angry at the ways of his enemies. You are not his enemy. You're one of his children. Verse 7. And they ask him, saying, Master, Master, but when shall these things be? And what sign will there be when these things shall come to pass? In other words, what's going to be the sign of your return? How are we going to know it's the second advent? 8, and he said, take heed, you be careful, that ye be not deceived. This was one of his main warnings. Beware of how things are adorned and how they look, how they're garnished, to look as something they're not. For many shall come in my name. There's a lot of Christian preachers going to come and say, I'm your new preacher down here, down the street a ways, and you need to come down. I'm going to have a shindig down there tonight. Yep. Well, naturally, you can always hear, but if his shindig isn't teaching God's word, he's a fake. Absolutely a false prophet. In a church, there should no word be taught but our Father's word. There's no room for anything else. We can hardly absorb all of the word as it is written without putting a bunch of garbage in that needs to be placed in order. Don't be deceived. Many are going to come claiming to be of Christ, or Christ sent me. And the time draweth near, go ye not therefore after them. Don't be taken in. All right? Well, how will I know? By reading God's word. By knowing what is truth and what is not truth. It's very simple. But when you shall hear of wars and commotions, be not terrified, for these things must first come to pass, and the end is not by and by. By and by means instantly. It's going to be down the road a ways. Do you hear of wars and rumors of war today? Well, we just came through a pretty good scrape. We sure did. And guess who won? We did. And we have further accomplishments down the road. But, beloved, be warned of one thing. We must always be fair, or we will not win. If we go into a war that is one-sided, that means where we are claiming to be an arbitrator, such as the road to peace, and we're one-sided, God does not bless that. So you want to be ready for things down the way. They're happening, okay? 10. Then said he unto them, nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. Great earthquakes shall be in divers places, and famines and pestilences, and fearful sights, and great signs shall there be from heaven. And there is. God blesses his own more and more and more until they can hardly be ready for it. You know, with growth. Just can hardly take care of it. It's amazing. In this generation, you know, people, I'm not going to go into that, but God's servants always win, okay? That's the side you want to be on, friend. I'm glad you are. But before all these, they shall lay their hands on you and persecute you and deliver you up to the synagogues and into prisons, being brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake. You got to be ready. Well, do I have to memorize the whole Bible? No, quite the contrary in this case. You're not to even premeditate what you'll say. You got to have faith to trust God to know he's going to use you. But you've got to be person enough to know God is not going to let you down. 13, and it, or he, shall turn to you for a testimony. That's the whole purpose, is to let all of God's children know the truth before some of them get zapped. Settle it therefore in your hearts not to meditate before what you will answer. Don't even waste time. It's almost a sin. And some of you, I know, you say, well, when I get in front of Satan, I'm going to spit in his eye. Well, no, you're not. You're going to do what the Holy Spirit tells you to do at that time. For I will give you a mouth and wisdom. Ooh, what a difference. I jest, okay. It's the Holy Spirit, which all your adversaries shall not be able to gainsay nor resist. Think of that. If the Holy Spirit speaks to you and their mouths just drop open. What a wisdom. Yeah, but it's our Father's, and don't ever forget it. 16, and ye shall be betrayed both by parents and brethren and kinsfolks and friends, and some of you shall they cause to be put to death, or put before death. Who is death? Satan. As a what? A witness, a testimony. All right? You ready? Well, put it in order and get it in gear. All right? Verse 17, do you have faith in God's word, or does the word death just shake you right in your boots? You know, you got to mature a little bit then. Read the next verse and we'll stop there. And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, 18, but there shall not an hair of your head perish. Why? We have power over them. You've got to believe that. You've got to have the faith to know that. Don't let Satan come into your house and tear your family up, kick him out the door, throw him out of the house. All right? You don't have to put up with nonsense. You're a child of God. Act like it. Okay? Put your house in order. Cosmeo, which is to say cosmos, because we're going back the cosmos, when the firmament protected us from the rays that age people today, even in the flesh, and there you're not even going to be in the flesh. What a perfect time it's going to be. You don't even have to run and look down the road to see who's coming, whether you have to lock the doors or not. You know? In case it's company you don't want to see right then. I'm jesting, all right? You know there's never any company I'm not anxious to see. But, you know, it will be heavenly at that time, and all these things will be placed to the side, because our lives have been put in order. All right? That's important. Okay, remember he said those buildings and those walls? Go with me in conclusion to Revelation 21. Revelation chapter 21. Verse 19, bless you. Verse 19 of chapter 21, let me just help just a little bit. Chapter 21 is when this earth is rejuvenated. It's put back to in order, all right? So things are looking good, all right? And he's describing a little as to how it goes. Verse 19, and it reads, and the foundations, hey, we're not talking about that one that every stone is going to be thrown down just because it was nicely garnished, okay? And the foundations of the wall of the city were garnished. Guess what that word is? You got it. It's cosmeo, okay? Put in order with all manner of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper, and it continues on. I'm not going to read all of them. The stones of the breastplate of a priest, as is written in the Exodus chapter 28, verses 17 through 21, giving the stones of Israel, right? All of them. But, let's go to verse 21. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every several gate was of one pearl, and the street of the city was pure gold. That means transparent, well, and as it were transparent glass, meaning it was pure. There's nothing there. I guarantee you a whole army could have rode through and there would be no droppings from horses. You know why? Because there's no more flesh. All animals are, even they, have been transformed into spiritual bodies. Some of them say, well, how in the world can he get that? Well, Isaiah chapter 11 makes it very clear God loves animals and they're going to be in heaven. But when a bear will lay down with a kid and not eat it, he's no longer a carnivore, okay? So they also then are in spiritual bodies. And even when Paul, that's not a foreign teaching. Sometimes we just don't get up to speed when we're reading. And when in Paul's teachings of 1 Corinthians chapter 15, where he said, I don't want you to be ignorant, you've got two bodies. You got this chunk of meat that you're walking around in, and you've got then a spiritual body. It's fantastic. But then he says in verse somewhere, I'm going to go by memory, somewhere along about 36, 37, 38, somewhere along verse 38, he says, hey, don't be mistaken. There's flesh of birds, of fish, of cattle, and of man. Okay, so there's different kinds of flesh, meaning they also are in the subject of different kinds of bodies. So don't be shocked when you, God loves animals, all right? Maybe he would rather pet animals than us. I don't know, sometimes. Okay. That's a nudge to, you better get your house in order, okay? So this fence, this building is garnished indeed. It is placed back in the order that God wants it. That's how you decide your life. You might say, well, the Kenites had that garnished in the sepulcher and it looked good. You decide whether it's right or not by the word of God. Don't be deceived. It's whose wall is it? What is the dispensation of time? And so forth, okay? Verse 22, and I saw no temple therein. Listen to me, saw no temple. Well, the temple's got to be rebuilt. Be careful. I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. You know that. What did Christ say? Tear this temple down and I'll rebuild it in three and a half days. I'll be there. Okay? He is the temple. 23, and the city had no need of the sun, neither the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. That's placed back in order, friend. That's the way it's going to be. When this earth is rejuvenated and God establishes his temple here, and heaven is on earth, we're not out flitting around in space somewhere. It was remarkable, one of the first statements that the astronauts made that just returned in that Soyuz, which is one wicked ride, okay? They missed their mark by 300 miles, and I was afraid something had really gone. I knew something had gone wrong. Am I sneaking in something here? I'm very interested in the space program, okay? 300 miles they missed. That's a long way. But when they shut off the news, I knew right then, uh-oh, something's wrong. You know, you can always read between the lines and you can tell, well, sure enough, 2 hours later, they find them. The parachute drug them and turned them off, and they're bouncing through the tules. Rough ride. It lets you know that our space shuttle, even though we lost one out of many tries, it gives a nice ride, unless it blows up. But it is a good vehicle, all right? We have a fix on it. You won't have to worry about that particular thing happening again. Unless it were to hit some space junk just before, you know, it had entered the atmosphere. But we'll be set to go out and fix anything that might go wrong in the future. Call that a digression if you want to. Please allow me. But they had a wicked ride last night. We got a lot to be thankful for. One of ours, Americans, even had to go to the hospital with a shoulder out of place. Pretty bad, banged up. But safe, happy. 23, and the city had no need of the sun or the moon. Why? I want to read this again. To shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. That is our light. Compared to the sun, he's brighter. Okay? Why? Because that's the light we desire. His presence. He lights the world. 24, and the nations of them which are saved. This word nations is ethnos in the Greek. And hey, you've got kings and queens of these ethnos. That's pretty heavy, isn't it? And they shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth. You know, Israel doesn't have but one king. The ethnos all have a king of their own, the various peoples. And they are God's elect of the ethnos in this generation. They're the kings and the queens of this time because they see the truth now, and they will lead their people, the earth, and do bring their glory and honor into it. Did God say they didn't have glory? No. Did he say they didn't have honor? No. They bring it to him. Why? They love him. And the gates of it shall... We're talking about... You understand we're talking about the rejuvenation of this earth, okay? As it is in heaven, so to speak. We're not talking about now. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. We're all children of light, all of God's children. And they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations, again, ethnos, into it. And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination, or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life, meaning they had their act put in order. They had it all together. What's in the book is what we're judged by. And the beauty of Christianity is when you repent, your page is erased clean. And he doesn't want to hear about your troubles past that. Don't bring it up, he says. Don't want to hear it. I forgave you for it. Don't bring it up. Or he'll punish you if you do. It's gone. Forgotten. Put everything in order. I wish I could say that we're all perfect. I don't know if I could put up with y'all. I wouldn't have as much fun if we were all perfect, maybe. I don't know. I don't think we'll ever have to worry a while for about trying that out, okay? But anyway, thank God he forgives us our sins, and we keep trying. God bless you for that, you know? Just get back up and smack Satan right in the face and keep plowing, all right? We have power over him, and he knows it. We even have the victory, and I thank our Father for that. All the peoples of this world, God loves his children, and he has a purpose and a place for every one of them. That's why he said, come out of her, my people. He didn't say, you that are not my people, come out of her. He's talking to those that have placed their business in order, trimmed their wicks. The woman that has adorned herself properly for her husband, Christ, to serve him, to be with him, in him, through him, to be a blessing to the community and even the world. What a time to live. Even the prophets wanted to live in this generation. You do. Praise God for it. Truth just simply grows and grows, and blessings grow. I thank our Father for that. Let us approach his throne. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Father, for the privilege of serving you. What a privilege it is. Take each of these and use them, Father. Grant knowledge and wisdom. Give us open minds, Father, to hear a deeper truth going into preparation for that time. putting things back in order as they were before the Kasabel. Thank you, Father. We ask it in Yeshua's precious name. Amen.
Free introductory package. Say, this is something we would like to offer for a one-time gift to all the new folk that study with us. This introductory package gives you a monthly newsletter, which means each month you will receive a newsletter with a Bible study on it. Hey, raising funds? No way. We're not beggars. We're Bible teachers. That's what it consists of. A tape catalog that will give you all the topics that are covered. And the Mark of the Beast tape. What is this Mark of the Beast? Is it really on your forehead? No, Satan's considerably more intelligent than that. It's in your forehead, which is to say, in your mind. Have you been deceived? This is a free offer to you, one time to each new student. Say, find out what's really happening and what the story is on the Mark of the Beast.
Not necessarily. Our schools of so-called higher learning and our so-called courts have gotten so out of control, so out of touch with the real world, that they think their leftist trends are up to date. This is hot. This is now. And it's a bunch of nonsense. And I'll tell you this, it's getting to the point where true wisdom, it's no wonder that so many parents now want to homeschool their children. It truly is obvious. It's all going to be straightened out before very long, and I thank God for it, okay? Bonnie from Wisconsin, what holy days should we observe today? Well, one main one we're going to find when we get to the fifth chapter of this great book of Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, that Christ became our Passover. And he is our Passover. And that is one day that you'd better worship, because Pentecost, Feast of Tabernacles, all those are done only in memory of Passover. Meaning of Christ. We'll be there in a day or two, and we'll cover that real well, okay? Bonnie from Wisconsin, same person, two in a row. Does baptism wipe away our sins and give us a clean slate, even sins we committed long ago and don't remember? Thank you for the teaching. I'll bet you must think you were a bad, bad sinner if you got a bunch of them you can't even remember. Of course it does, okay? I jest. When you say, Father, forgive me for all of my sins, hey, he understands our language. And he is so good to us, because that is when you teach Christ crucified, you have to teach that we are forgiven. And yes, baptism gives us a clean start. Why? Supposedly, spiritually, the old flesh man dies and we resurrect a new person. It doesn't mean you're going to change all that much. You will still sin, but praise be to God, that's why we have repentance. Kathy from Texas. How do I deal with a person who believes divorce and forgiveness can be bought with money? I don't know that you'll ever be able to deal with a person who believes that divorce and forgiveness can be bought with money, okay? I keep telling this person it's not right, but this person says I need to respect a person and their religion. This is pulling our family apart. Do you have a tape on this subject? Well, I would probably call it hot air if I did. You all are listening to a bunch of hot air from some clown. That maybe has a little extra money. Money won't buy happiness. Money won't buy peace of mind. And God will see to it that this is straightened out. You just walk the straight line, pray to God, and God will take care of this person, okay, when you do that. There's not much, you know, a person like that is so far gone, I don't know what you could, they evidently worship money instead of God, and God will take care of it. Okay, Eva from Tennessee, age 10, got a lot of children. I'm so proud of all of you that enjoy studying in depth, you children. Pastor Murray, I watch your program. I'm a Christian, and here is the question. If God could see the future, why didn't he stop Satan? I have always wondered about this, so I thought you could help me. Well, I hope that I can, Eva. You see, God, what does he want from man? As it is written in Hosea 6:6, God wants man's love. He wants an individual's love. That's what he wants. He says, I don't want your burnt offerings. I want your love, your grace. And you see, love cannot be ordered or forced out of somebody, or you can't beat somebody into loving you. Love must generate within each entity, each person, and flow out to God, or else it's fake. That's the way love is. It would be just like someone saying they loved you when they really didn't, okay? That's what God wants from man. And he gave, so to gain that, he had to give man, yes, even Satan in the first earth age, free will, so that he could control and be the captain of his own ship, and he shipwrecked, okay? He couldn't cut it. And that's why God sentenced him to die in Ezekiel chapter 28, verses 18 and 19. I'm out of time. Hey, I love you all a lot. You know why? Because you enjoy studying our Father's Word in more depth. But what's most important, it makes Father's Day. It really does. And when you make his day, guess what? Blessings are going to flow for you. He loves you for studying his Word instead of listening to a bunch of nonsense from men. Always remember that if you want God's blessings. We are brought to you by your tithes and offerings. If we've helped you, you help us keep coming to you. Once you do that, always remember, bless God. He will always, always bless you. Most important, this. You stay in his Word every day, in his Word, even with trouble. It's a good day. You know why? Because Jesus, Yeshua, he is the living Word.
Hearing God's Word with understanding will change your life. We hope you have enjoyed studying God's Word here on the Shepherd's Chapel Family Bible Study Hour with Pastor Arnold Murray. If you would like to receive more information concerning Shepherd's Chapel, you may request our free introductory offer. Our introductory offer contains the Mark of the Beast audio tape, our monthly newsletter with a written Bible study, a tape catalog, and a list of written reference works available through Shepherd's Chapel. To request our free introductory offer by telephone, call 800-643-4645 24 hours a day. You may also request our introductory offer by writing to Shepherd's Chapel, Post Office Box 416, Gravette, Arkansas 72736. Once again, that's Shepherd's Chapel, Post Office Box 416, Gravette, Arkansas 72736. We invite you to join us for the next in-depth Bible study each weekday at this same time. Thank you for watching today's program, and God bless you. The special Sunday service messages by Pastor Arnold Murray and Dennis Murray are now available. Pastor Murray's messages entitled Seal of God and Established are our audio tape item numbers 932 and 933.